Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Someday we'll all be together again and we'll be able to actually do that in time, right?
Yeah.
At this point, it's a brand for us. So what are the listeners going
to
do?
So guys, I did my homework. I listened to Latvia 2008.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And here.
What'd you think?
Well, I was just dropping in to let you know that I don't like music anymore, and I will be starting a podcast about that.
Okay.
So Wolves of the Sea had no side effects and no ill repercussions for you then?
No.
Play the music.
And welcome to another swashbuckling episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the home of insert joke here. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Ah, good times.
I sold a joke there, right? I didn't like mess that up. No, I'm sure it was fine.
We'll put it in anyway, in post.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So how's everyone doing?
Fine.
It's snowing outside.
Yeah, it's October 20th and it's snowing.
I haven't approved this. I have not given my stamp of approval.
I literally had to move my pumpkins inside. They're not even rotten. They're just frozen.
This is a solely Minnesota problem.
I know. Yeah. This is garbage. I said this earlier to Eric, but knowing Minnesota, this means that Halloween is going to be 84 degrees and we'll be sleeping with the windows open in November.
It's definitely possible.
Ugh.
Before we go any further, I just wanted to say one quick thing for our American listeners, which is there is, as of the time we are recording this, 2 weeks before an election that is going to be very important, and we want to encourage you to vote. So please vote. If you haven't already done so, please make sure you have a plan to do so. There is a pandemic going on and so on, so keep that in mind. But yeah, please vote. You get one vote from America. So do that.
Well said.
Thank you.
And if you're listening to this from outside of the United States, then find an American friend and tell them to vote.
And also know that we're very sorry.
Yes.
We're just really sorry. Other than that, we still have social media accounts, I think. Sam, do we still have social media?
We do. They haven't completely imploded on us. Yes, you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Or you could just find our plain old website at 12pointsfromamerica.com. Whatever sort of podcast medium you are listening to us on, if it gives you the opportunity to subscribe, we'd really appreciate that. If it gives you the opportunity to review us, we would really, really appreciate that, because every positive review that you leave lets more people find us that much.
I want to see 1-star reviews.
No,
I want to see
don't.
Them drag
no, you don't.
Us.
No, 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 you don't. If you do want to drag us, just email us and we'll handle that differently.
We'll read them on the air.
Yeah, we will probably put you on the show, not gonna lie. So
a frenemy of the show, yes.
That's right. Frenemies of the show. Oh man, we definitely need some of those. We need enemies.
More enemies of the show.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times.
Welcome, everyone. We have just a bit of news. We're not going to do a ton of news talking this week. We actually have a purpose. Our show has a point this week, so that's great. But to start, a little bit of bad news from the Eurovision 2021 front. Not incredibly shocking, but nonetheless a real bummer, and that is Montenegro will not be rejoining us.
That's right. Montenegro is now Montenegno. Got him.
Yep.
I'm going to miss them. Last time we had them, they were singing Heaven, Hamity Be Haven. They can send that back again.
No, they can't. They literally can't.
For multiple reasons.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah, I loved plucky little Montenegro in the contest. Yeah. And, you know, this is the nation that has given us songs like Heaven, but they've also given us Slavko. They've given us Hussi.
Give us Euronero.
Yeah. So,
you never know what to expect from them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could be the most straightforward ballad or the most off-the-wall performance art Trojan donkey. And we will miss them. Hopefully we'll see them back in 2022.
Hopefully. I feel like that can be said for a lot of the Balkan countries.
Yeah. Bosnia, we miss you too. Come back.
Yeah. Same with Monaco. We'll get to Monaco later, though.
That's not Balkan.
I just mean countries we miss. We're just listing countries we miss now.
Oh, okay. I got
it. Come on.
From America.
From America. Also a country I miss.
Whoa. Well, yeah.
Right, we have one more bit of news before we get into the main event, which is
speaking of problematic voting.
we finally got the results from
Talk about OGAE.
OGAE second chance contest, and what happened, guys? So if you haven't heard, we had talked about what we thought would happen when we got the lineup and everything, and it really seemed like it was Chicholina's to lose, that it was just, this was perfectly set up for that song because of how beloved it was and so on and so forth. And it lost to Sweden, Anna Bergendahl's Kingdom Come. Not an awful song by any stretch, I guess, but it's really not it doesn't have the iconic everything about it the way that Chiellina did, and it really wasn't even that close. Anna Bergendahl had 344 points, and Chiellina had 302. Third place was Andromeda by Elodie from Italy, 253. I'm really surprised and disappointed by this.
Yeah, same. I mean, my theory is that when Eurovision fans, who, let's be honest, the people who are voting on OGAE Second Chance Contest, they are the biggest fans of the, literally they are card-carrying members of the Eurovision fan club. And oftentimes, they/we vote for what we know. And there is a long history with Anna Bergendahl and Eurovision. We know that she, you know, was the only Swedish entry to not make it to a grand final at Eurovision.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so? All right.
But her redemption arc, I think, was a lot for fans to kind of hold on to. So I think a lot of people do love her, even more than the song itself. That's my theory anyway. I was personally voting for I didn't actually vote. I can't vote. I'm not a member. But I had personal songs here that I thought were completely passed over. You know, like Armenia's Tokyo 9 getting nil point, I thought was a slap in the face.
That is astonishing, because that song is fantastic. I would have put it, you know, if I had a vote in this, it might have been my 12 points.
Yep.
Poland. It got nothing.
Yeah. Lake Malawi for Poland with Lucy, a great track in Eurovision or not, came in 13th place with 51 points. Yeah.
Crazy. I have to say, too, I re-listened to Lucy fairly recently, and I love that song.
Yes. Like,
I really, really love that song.
And?
And the thought I had about it most recently was, it is such a triumph that that song, by all rights, should be kind of creepy.
Yes.
And it's not.
The same can be said of Friend of a Friend, but
yeah,
you know.
It's so charming. Let this be a lesson to all of you out there. As long as you're really charming, you can do it. You know what? Never mind.
No, don't go there. Do not go there.
I take back what I said.
You can tweet at Eric directly at E-R-I-K is tweeting. Right.
Yeah. But the point being is, like, that is such an insane concept for a song. And for it to work as well as it does, it's awesome. It's
yes,
so
exactly.
Great.
It's like they came up with a joke, and instead of it being like a joke song, instead Lake Malawi just decided to, you know what, we'll actually put some effort into this and make it a nice breezy pop song.
Mm-hmm.
In all respects, this song has no right being this fun.
It is. And it do.
It really is.
And I love.
Yeah.
But not according to OGAE. So, you know.
And Lucy finished just behind in 12th place, Passepartout, another song that was quite lovely. The most French song in the 2020 cycle.
Not from
Portugal. Yeah, yeah, not from France. Rabbit Hole by Jaguar Jones in 18th, which is really surprising. Noted song Danny Hates, Cherry Red by Roxen, got all the way up to 8th.
Hey, you know, if there's anything, any shining moment here, it's the fact that Rain Alexander, one last time for Norway, came in a pretty darn solid 5th place.
It did.
That our White Walker, our Wilding from Beyond the Wall, Rain Alexander, he did the Nordics proud.
What did Czech Republic? Oh, okay. It was Wanna Be Like. And it also did poorly with 44 points, 15th place. We had talked in our kind of also ran show a while back about how top to bottom, Czech Republic selection this year was so good.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple of disposable songs, but nothing that was offensively bad.
And
We All Poop was not considered offensively bad. Like,
oh yeah, no, We All Poop.
Provocative, yeah, but
they're telling the truth. All right.
We All Poop All the Blood. I mean, is it just me?
In
those
fairness,
are separate phrases. Those aren't connected.
Yeah. Oh man,
they shouldn't be.
I've been reading that wrong the whole damn time. I thought there was an instruction.
In
Moving
fairness,
on.
We do all poop. They made a fair point about whether or not we all poop, and we do. All right, let's get to our main topic instead of poop. We had another Eurovision again. Ooh. Again.
Ah, love it.
Shout out to all the amazing people that make that happen, by the way.
Absolutely.
Rob, Ellie, and the rest. You know
Fuego.
Who you are.
Don't forget Fuego.
Oh, yes. Fuego. Fuego's adorable.
Whip it good.
Yeah.
Yes. So, as we know, it was 1976 was the year that Eurovision again plucked from the archives. Thanks to the folks over at the EBU for gussying it up and sprucing it up and making sure the audios and the visuals and all that good stuff was tip-top, ship-shape.
And noted Dutch broadcaster and energy drink manufacturer NOS made it available through the EBU. So big thanks to NOS.
Yeah, dankjewel NOS.
Where to start with this show? I will preface it by saying that it was the 70s, everyone was on Quaaludes, and everyone needed to be wearing velvet or suede. It was, there's a lot of crimes that are happening on stage this year, both for the ear and for the eye. A couple of welcome respites peppered throughout the show, but they did not pick a boring year. Maybe you would argue song-wise, but this was a treat for the eyes.
I would not argue that. I would not argue boring at all.
I honestly, this was a year that there were a couple of songs that if you had played or shown me the list of the songs that I would have been able to say, okay, I know that one, and that one. But there will probably have been maybe 4 songs out of the 18 in the running order that I knew off the top of my head.
Sure.
So this was a really great way for me to refresh and kind of shine some light on a kind of a blind spot that I had. My mid to late 70s knowledge at Eurovision is not the strongest, but this was just a fun one to dive headfirst into. There were some great moments, really, really great moments. So this is the first time that all of us had seen this one in full, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So where do we start? Do we just, I know that back when we were doing our 2011 review, we just basically threw out some categories and all have opinions. Is that what we want to do?
Let's start with a little bit of context. Maybe we should let them know what won in 1976.
Fair enough. It was one of those wonderful, strange years where the first song in the running order ended up taking the whole damn contest.
Yep.
Save Your Kisses for Me from the UK, Brotherhood of Man, took a commanding win, first place.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, you said, according to the Statmotron, this was the most decisive, commanding winner ever. Is that correct, what the Statmotron had said?
In the 12-10-8 era, it is, yes.
I see.
In that era, it is the only winner to get more than 80% of the points it could have possibly gotten.
Oof, that's incredible.
It's
a lot of 12s, a lot
pretty,
of 10s.
Pretty high up there. There are a couple that come close. Love Shine a Light came pretty close. And what was the other one? I don't know. Something. You know who you are.
This was so obviously a great song that... So, like, I know Save Your Kisses for Me. I know this song. This rings a bell to the ear. I swore, because it was first in the running order, that it had won the previous year, and they were just, like, performing this song to kick off the show. That's what I thought, because I didn't know that they had actually won this year.
There have been 3 winners out of the number one spot. This was the second of them. The first one was the year before, so the opener won twice in a row.
Oh,
And then the other one was, yeah. Yes, and the other one was in the 80s, I think. But, yeah. Just starting off with a bang, and I don't want to say it was all downhill from there. In terms of placement, I suppose, just mathematically speaking, it was, but yeah. It's a tough act to follow just all around.
I mean, this song is such a watershed moment, especially for a lot of British fans of the contest, especially those who are approximately our age or slightly older, that, you know, I listen to when ESC Insight does their Eurovision Castaways pieces, when Ellie hosts a fan of the contest, a fellow Eurovision journalist, and they bring their 8 songs onto the Ile de Besançon. If you haven't checked out that series, I highly recommend it over at escinsight.com. Oftentimes, people will start out with the song that got them into Eurovision, their first Eurovision memory that they bring as their sort of desert island disc onto the island. And
this one do it for a lot of them?
A lot of them. A lot of people. It's like, I remember this from when I was a kid, or this was a massive hit and I knew it and I loved it growing up. I didn't realize it was a Eurovision song until I was older. So this is really a cultural touchstone for a lot of Eurovision fans in general, but specifically British Eurovision fans.
This Britain was winning a lot of Eurovisions in the 70s too.
Yeah. That era, they were really solid. And keeping in mind, this was an era when acts could sing in whatever language that they wanted to. So it wasn't necessarily like in the 90s when you were having that that linguistic kind of crackdown. You had to sing in a national language that kind of boosted the UK, Ireland, and Malta.
That's not going to stop Italy. Italy's never going to not sing in Italian.
Oh, no.
But Italy sings in English. That's when you know. That's when you know the government has changed. Yeah. They're being occupied again.
Well, they shouldn't have gone fascist.
What Ooh. Category should we hit first, though? After now that we have talked about saving dem kisses, let's. What should we touch on?
So, just looking at the roster of participants, we had a couple of countries. We didn't have any debuts in 1976, but we had a couple countries returned. We have Austria re-entering the fold, and Greece also on the table. We had three countries not present who had been previously present in the 75 contest. We had no Malta. We had no Turkey, which may have been why Greece jumped back in, because there were some issues going on at the time. And we'll talk about that maybe later as we bring up the Greek song. And we did not have Sweden, which is a very There is a very strange Sweden-shaped hole in the roster this year.
Sweden can do its own thing. Sweden can do Nordic vision or whatever.
Speaking of which, Turk vision's back.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention that. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God.
Turkey vision. Yeah.
Turk vision. I love Turk vision.
Fourth Thursday in November.
Mm-hmm. You open up all of the acts and you realize it's just full of sage and breadcrumbs.
Hmm.
It's your ex who's dating someone who looks exactly like you.
Let's begin. I'd like to begin with some of the more visual aspects of the contest. Let's go with staging.
Yeah, this is a cool year. This is like, you forget that it was 1976 because the stage was actually pretty damn cool.
It was pretty big, pretty deep. Yeah.
Inspired by Jodorowsky's Dune.
Yeah. I saw in the chat someone described sort of like the abstract art in the background as just looking like Ike from South Park.
I was thinking the giant Pac-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
There
was one of them that I was pretty sure was the inspiration for Gurr from Invader Zim.
For those of you who haven't seen it, it's a series of like curved / rectangular panels with a big orb, not like Duncan Lawrence's orb, but like just a big circle component of this abstracty looking thing. And it changed for each one of the acts.
Yeah, like moved around. Yeah.
It's not like it did anything. Like, I'm sure they probably requested something, but it was just like a change from act to act.
Which is really pretty cool and high-tech and revolutionary for 1976. Like, that's pretty spectacular.
For such a simple design, it was amazing how they made every stage look unique. Mm-hmm. Like, between every time a new act come up, I was like, oh, this is different, and it was striking.
Instead, they were just using the same elements, but just, like, you know, raising and lowering some battens, or, like, clearing the stage over here.
Right. In an era where they didn't have LEDs, or fireworks, or wind machines, things that would today seem subtle, that made a really massive impact.
Yeah. I will say, I'm going to throw my worst staging out right away. Best staging is up for grabs because everyone just had a really simple setup. The worst staging for me was from an act that I think was the worst in several categories. Would the term fairground organ and clown mean anything to you?
Oh, there's going to be a lot of overlap in this episode.
Yeah, this is so Switzerland, who went second, who, by the way, racked up way too many points during the voting, had a dumb, stupid song, and they had a piano on stage, they had, like, their guitar chords lying everywhere, and then for absolutely no reason at all, they had a little wheeled fairground organ at the far right, standing in front of a bald clown playing guitar with gloves on.
You know,
that's what the song was about.
As you do.
You know, like how you play the guitar, you put some big white gloves on your big clown nose and you stand behind something, you play guitar. Yeah, gotcha.
Precisely.
Yeah. Derek, did you also have this down for your worst? Okay, yeah.
As soon as the song started, I'm like, what the hell's going on? I made my point at that point.
It's not particularly a abysmal song, but the staging makes it not appealing at all.
It's so interesting watching the entire show how much that stood out. Like, I felt like everyone else had very period-appropriate costuming. Sometimes a little extravagant, but, you know, for the most part, it's like, oh, this is all 70s. This is what I expect to see in the background of Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you weren't exactly hit by the curse of second place. I feel like they just decided they needed to stage it in a way that would curse themselves.
They had to create the curse themselves. That wouldn't come in until the 80s.
I can't disagree with you. This one took me out of it. Like, supposedly the lyrics of the song are about the clown. I think that's where that connection is. But
are the lyrics exactly? This clown makes no sense. Jumbo
clown makes
Jumbo.
No sense. He is sitting in front. His name is Jumbo Jumbo. He doesn't know how to play the guitar. That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Peter, Sue, Mark, and Danny. That's
it. Wasn't the song about, I can't remember the name of the clown, but they're singing about how, oh, he used to make us laugh, was kind of the chorus or something like that.
Alas, poor Jumbo. I knew him well. Yeah.
Yeah, let me read you a little snippet of the chorus here. And this is actually in English. Peter, Sue, and Mark sang for Switzerland four times in four different languages. So should just be known.
Impressive.
Yeah. So one of the stanzas there, it's once he was a clown in the arena, people said he the best that ever was. Now they call him good old Jumbo Jumbo, but in his dreams, he still hears the applause. So it's a sort of faded glory of a aging clown, which is really freaking terrifying.
Yeah, but he's actually a clown, you know? It's...
And sometimes you can see him on the sidewalk with little boys and girls around his feet. Feet is what I see here.
Little tootsies.
Sometimes you could see him in the rain gutter. Your younger brother.
Yeah, you know, they all float in Switzerland.
Eric, what did you have? Did you have clowns?
I did, yeah.
You had clowns, all right, good, yeah. What else can be said? Yeah. There's nothing else that came close to being this unwarrantedly bizarre.
Right, I mean, to a certain extent, I almost feel like it gets both best and worst staging because it's the only one that just...
They tried.
What is going on?
They at least tried something. Yeah.
Whatever Switzerland was taking in 1976, I would like some.
You already established it was Quaaludes.
Hi, Alpine.
Oh, that's right. Yes. please send your Quaaludes to 12 points from America.
No, don't.
Okay. All right.
I'm actually going to disagree with you here. I thought that Save Your Kisses for Me actually had far and away the best staging just because of the cute choreography. Like, you can't screw up standing in a line and doing, like, properly in time, little, you know, step dance. Step touch junk, whatever.
Oh, it's the most adorably simple choreography.
Yes.
It's great.
Even I can do it. Like I was when they said that they were doing 76, I was literally just toddling up and down the hallway of the house, just doing the choreography, and my boyfriend kind of rolling his eyes a little bit at me. But it's so freaking sweet, and it's such a hallmark of a song that's adorable enough in itself.
It's such simple choreography from the UK that I bet they could release this song onto the latest Just Dance and have everyone get 100% A grade on their own dance moves.
It's the perfect opening song for Just Dance. Speaking of which, I know we said we weren't going to have a bunch of news and updates and things that aren't 1976, but Sam, you were right. Toy is in a Just Dance game.
Yeah.
So just FYI, I was wrong when I said that it was the first thing since Hard Rock Hallelujah.
I forgive Never you, mind. My son. It's all right. You are forgiven.
Thanks, Mom.
Speaking of which, you didn't tell us your worst, Sam.
But worst staging?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. It was the clown. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not necessarily afraid of clowns, but that got me pretty damn close.
I'm afraid of this clown in particular.
And Sam, is your best also Britain?
I was going to say Britain, but I was also, just for the difference of it, just to be a little bit contrary, I also really appreciated the staging for Greece, Maritsakos Paniamu Paniamu, which I know sounds so out of left field, but it was a really, really serious song, deeply political. It was basically like the 1944 of its day.
Sure.
And it was stark. It was simple. It was kind of darker. It was, and I appreciated the sort of gravity of the staging in response to such a emotionally heavy song.
I feel bad for the note that I wrote down about Greece then.
I'm gonna come in and say I also picked Greece as best staging.
Yeah?
Yay. Okay.
I thought simplicity really worked. The use of light and darkness, I think, was really effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like the focus on the single instrumentation, like I don't know if that was a bouzouki or a... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The stringed instrument that the guy was on in the back, yeah.
Whatever Argo brought with him.
What I wrote down was Mama Cass, but she escaped from a cult.
Oh man.
Oh.
It's very serious the way that she is singing, not knowing the context.
It's probably the only Eurovision song to contain the word napalm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So far.
Yes.
call up.
We haven't heard any of next year's songs.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think my favorite, if we're talking about like this, if the standard's going to be, you know, fun choreography, I might have to give the edge to Finland.
Yes.
Okay.
Pump Pump by Freddie and the Friends. If you haven't seen it, first of all, go see it. If you would rather just have me describe it, picture Ya-Ya Ding Dong.
It's a, just song wise, yeah.
It's and make it in the 70s, and you're pretty much right there.
Except in the place of Will Ferrell, instead there is what I would call the fat version of Jaws from James Bond. That's what that's who they got singing lead vocals.
I'm so glad you specified James Bond. I was even larger fish.
I was pretty sure I was thinking of the same actor, but it was his role in Happy Gilmore.
In Happy Gilmore, yeah, it's yeah. the same guy.
That's that guy.
And his lapels are like black sequins. This is, it's extremely 70s. Yeah. You're right.
By the way, his name's Richard Keel. He has a name.
Thank you. I just couldn't think of it.
May he rest in peace.
No, Eric, his name is Freddie. Freddie and his friends.
Okay.
I did love Finland's song, by the way.
I love that. I love that. That may have, I mean, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But
might be another category.
Yeah.
Finland was benefited
by
the fact
talking about it again.
That their background for this one was definitely Pac-Man, but the upper half is Venetian blinds.
I also appreciate it. And again, this is probably a randomly drawn running order, but the fact that we had the seriousness of Greece followed immediately by Let Your Hip Go Hippity Pump Pump.
Eurovision. Right before Greece, too, we have another song that I think we'll be talking about.
Oh, yes.
So we'll come back to that. But, what a sandwich. What a song sandwich. A song which is 9 through 11 in 1976. My goodness.
Let's keep on the visual tack of things. Let's keep it with costume. Costuming. I don't think there were a lot of costumes. More of outfits, you know. It's not like modern Eurovision where there's a lot of garishness, unless we're counting Switzerland. I won't count Switzerland because the clown just cannot. The clown must be ignored. We cannot feed the clown.
Do not feed the clown. Never feed the clown.
I have to give my worst costume to the greenest of green crushed velvet and the widest 70s tie that there ever was. That's right. It's Ireland. I always have to fault Ireland when they show up in all green. Like, I hate that. And, like, the material that he is wearing, plus the enormous, enormous rose boutonniere. Just the white rose boutonniere. He looks like a limited edition Beanie Baby. I have no idea why people thought that this was good.
It was the 70s.
It was, yeah. Like we said, a lot of quaaludes.
I mean, honestly, just change the green for brown, and I'm pretty sure that was the tux that my dad wore to his wedding.
In the movie, or... Oh, wait, never mind.
Ha ha. Folks, if you'd like to... No, never mind. Never mind. Sam's reaching through the screen and strangling me ring style.
You know,
very impressive.
I was... With costumes, there's a lot of accounting for taste, and it might just be how much you can live in the 70s. I'm going to let everyone say what their worst ones were, but what I thought... My favorite costume that I actually think is good might be on one of your guys' worsts. Eric, is it going to be you? Eric, what's your worst costume?
Worst costume?
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Netherlands.
Okay. As long as it wasn't entry, Norway.
The party's over. She's dressed like Sam the Eagle.
When she spreads her arms, she really looks like a tablecloth.
This really isn't my best or my worst, but I have to give a mention, as long as we're talking about costuming, to Italy. Because the guy in the Italian duo.
Albano, a legend.
Albano.
Yeah. Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah. from Al U2.
Yep. Oh, that
from
red.
From the hair to the glasses.
I'm going to say he looks like young Hugh Hefner.
No.
Okay.
To the entire outfit. Looks an absolute dead ringer for Brick Tamlin. Steve Carell's character in Anchorman. He looks just like him. It's incredible. And he has that giant, like, Richard Dawson-esque microphone as he's singing to this other lady.
Yeah.
And I only assume he's singing about, you know, what is your bid on the dinette set? that guy is just... Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm not saying that's the best or the worst... I have to talk about him.
As far as costumes, yeah, I wrote down, it's nice for Hugh Hefner to sing to the lead singer of Haim like this.
And yeah, Danny, what you mentioned about the tie, the Irish guy.
The widest of ties. It's like the width of his nipples. It's so big.
It's
Danny, I nearly just shot tea out of my nose.
It's
for
a fat tie. And it's so short, it comes nowhere near to his belt, by the way, is so high.
Yeah.
It's so high.
And he still doesn't get it. This is like a child's tie. This is so weird.
Yeah.
70s were a weird time, y'all. Weird time.
Sam?
My least favorite?
Is one of those?
As much as I love Sandra Reimer, she was an honorable mention for worst outfit. I think probably worst female outfit. For me, I was kind of taken aback by Austria's Waterloo and Robinson and their outfits there. For my little world, I just thought I feel like they rolled up to the venue in The Hague and were like, crap, we forgot our costumes. And they just happened to grab a trunk that was passing by that they just grabbed whatever they could grab out of it.
It looks like they're in a community production of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Like, yes. We're going to throw a big scarf around your neck and you get me the biggest belt buckle you have. And you put a red daisy on his lapel. It's as close to clowns without being clowns.
Right, exactly. It was just enough to make me unsettled, but not enough to completely scare me.
Like,
so yes.
For instance, like the actual clown.
Yeah. So yeah, that one stuck with me.
Yeah,
as much as you know, Sandra Reimer, we love her, bless her memory. You know, she had three entries at Eurovision. This is actually my least favorite song of hers, but like and probably my least favorite outfit of hers, but I can't say a word against Sandra Reimer. I love her too much to give her the wooden spoon on this one. So anyway, Derek, what about you?
Worst. It's Norway.
Oh, no!
No!
No! Listen, she made that gold bead dress herself. I don't know.
That was that cat suit or whatever you want to call
it. It's a gold bead cat suit. I was impressed.
Yes. And the sunglasses, man. The sunglasses.
I mean, yeah.
Elton John was watching that like, hey...
Yeah, he was taking notes on this one for sure.
But this is one where actually it's the performance. I'll touch on it with performance, but I was actually appreciative when she put on the sunglasses because she has crazy eyes. She has eyes where I have to look away when she's looking at the camera.
I felt in general, like I said earlier, everything was period appropriate. I mean... It's eccentric and kind of crazy because it's television and, you know, it's a performance thing. But for the most part, I just kind of felt like, okay, wear something nice and that's what you're going to perform in. And she's like, I'm going to go all in disco, 70s glasses. And it stood out so much. It just was so intense compared to everything else.
Mm-hmm. Just Farrah Fawcett in a headband.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like Derek, no.
Okay.
I liked this costume.
Well, well, honestly, if we're going to transition from worst costumes to best costume, I'm going to say this is my pick for the best costume.
Oh, for sure.
It's for the sunglasses alone, really. But yeah, no,
sunglasses
I thought
is not a category.
It stood out in a great way. The sunglasses are iconic. I will say the backup singers dress like Sandra Day O'Connor. but her specifically, she was dynamite. Like, this, it's got to be memorable and in a good way. So like the clown, but not.
Yeah, she's the opposite of a clown.
Yeah. Not really.
All right, anyone else who agrees with me? Sam?
I'm, for my best one, the thing is, it's really hard for me to separate best dressed versus best dressed for the 70s.
I know, yeah. Best dressed or like, man, I can't take my eyes off this.
Right, like Mata Hari, like Anne Karin Strøm for Norway was brilliant and very much the character that she was trying to portray. In terms of dress that I looked at, I'm like, damn, that is a fantastic outfit. I really, really liked what Mary Christie for Monaco was wearing, that black low-cut dress with the little zigzaggies going on. I thought that was pretty awesome right there. A little bit
low. Elegant dress, yeah.
It was elegant. For a disco upbeat little stomper, I thought that was really very understated. I also really liked what Catherine Ferry was wearing for France, that little red number.
Yeah, but it's France.
It's France. So, I mean, surprise, surprise, they do fashion. But, I mean, I personally liked it. I thought it wasn't overdone. And for a song that was, like, nice and light and breezy, I thought it fit very nicely. So, yes, I'm going to be boring and go for my French and Monégasque ladies.
I think we need to note, in order to fit in with the theme of 1976, that it's pronounced Monaco.
Yeah, that's right. 10 points for Monaco.
Monaco.
Yeah. Derek, did you already give us your favorite?
I did not.
No? Well, what is it?
Monaco.
Monaco, okay.
Monaco.
Monaco.
Monaco. I thought she looked really nice in that dress. It felt very modern.
Yeah, you could wear it today.
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of surprised. It really stood out.
I also wanted to give an honorable mention. I really liked the suit that the guy from Portugal was wearing, Carlos Di Camo. I thought it was very 70s, but it was not insane.
That would have been my other pick.
Yeah, it brought the color in, but it was a sharp suit. I want to give him props because I have a feeling that that Portugal might not be a song that is mentioned very much today, which is a shame because I freaking love that song.
It was very Portuguese.
It was so Portuguese.
If you like the songs that are Portuguese, this
then has
one
Portugal
was Portuguese.
Got a song for you? Yeah.
Yep.
In regards to my favorite costume, I will say that for years, people across Europe have asked, hey, can you make a suede leisure suit Bauhaus? And Josip Broz Tito said yes, and we'll send it to Eurovision. Yugoslavia. For the suede Bauhaus leisure suits on this backing band. That's it. Her dress, whatever. She's wearing something salmon. It's a little kind of folky, whatever. But everyone in the back wearing fuzzy, gross, wonderful costumes with the largest bow ties since 1902. Yeah, it's great.
All right, let's take a look at best and worst moment of the contest. Not necessarily including all the contestants.
Uh-huh.
I'll start.
Sure.
The worst moment was that clown.
The clown being there in the building. Okay.
I'm actually going to pick the same thing for the best and worst. And I'll say it's, for me, it was the postcards.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing, but the pianist playing over the postcards.
I liked the pianist the best.
That's exactly what I said. And the postcards felt like outtakes from A Hard Day's Night.
Yes. It kind of felt like an afterthought. They just, and they kept doing this thing where we're going to show the artist in profile, which it just kind of was the oddest thing. But the piano music that played, I thought was really kind of fun. And I always look forward to it.
Unsung guy of the show. Yeah, he just seemed to be doing his own improvisations and just, like, you know, playing. You know, he had to play a solid minute of piano 18 times throughout the show and not make it repetitive. I feel like he's an unsung hero.
Yeah, give that guy an award.
I liked that the visual aesthetic of the postcards was very much like the board on Press Your Luck.
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
It's a Luxembourg.
We got Portugal.
Money, big money. Oh. Oh, and Portugal comes with a free spin, too.
Yeah, I quite like the postcards. I can't think of like a worst moment.
The show ran
where I was
really
like, God, this is garbage. besides the clown thing we talked about.
Yeah, well, I think for me, like, the one low point was not necessarily like a low point. It was more just they hadn't gotten the kinks worked out yet. This was only like the second or third year that they had been doing the 1-8, 10-12 voting system.
Oh,
and the fact that they gave out the points in running order rather than in...
Like, I actually found that kind of exciting.
I that bothered me.
Oh, yeah. Because you never knew if they were going to skip a country, like where they would go. So it's like whenever they were like, oh, yes, we will talk about Great Britain because it is first in the order. Although that just meant, you know, it's just going to get 12s and 10s forever.
Right. So like you just know. It wasn't any moment of, are they going to blank, you know, are they going to blank like the UK? Or is it like, no, you just know that they're going to give them 10 or 12 just because they're there. Unless you're Ireland and you gave them only 3 points. Because, you know, you're being contrary. Yeah. But
take that, Margaret Thatcher.
I loved
there were issues. There were
reasons. I loved that even during this Eurovision point tally sequence, the audience in The Hague already is very well aware of the political alliances that are happening. So you will hear someone go, you know, and France, 4 points. And then there's like boos. You can hear like laughing and muttering.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Spain and Portugal. Uh-huh.
Speaking of bad moments, somebody in the comments pointed out that the male Italian singer flubbed one of his lines.
Oh,
I didn't catch that. I think I did catch that. Yeah.
Okay.
The one about the dinette set, I believe.
Oh, right. Yeah. Not the which door has a goat behind it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to ask you which one had a Chevy Corvair behind it.
Yeah.
Can I say my favorite moment? Because yeah. I definitely yeah. have a favorite moment.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, yes.
And that was pretty much anything involving our lovely host for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was great.
A consummate professional.
And has some serious history with the contest as well.
Yep.
Is that right?
She does. Yeah. Corey Brocken, who was very well beloved. She actually just passed away back in 2016. She represented the Netherlands in the very first Eurovision. We don't know how she did because no scores other than the winning song was released. Uh-huh. But she represented the Netherlands in 56. She ended up winning the contest in 57. And then coming back in 1958, she came in dead last. So she's seen the highs, the lows, and the in-betweens. The
triple
whole contest.
Threat.
I'm impressed because her demeanor throughout the entire contest, I wouldn't like call it like stentorian librarian, but she has this authoritative command of like the Eurovision proceedings. She really does feel in charge.
Yeah, she lived it. Yeah, you didn't mess with Corey Brocken.
Yeah, she wasn't there just to be like, you know, peppy and energetic, which, you know, she was. She brought some really good energy to the show. Mm-hmm. But it's like when she was running through the, you know, London Calling and Frankfurt Calling, it was like, you know, it was like she had done this show four times already.
She was able to really balance. Now, she was able to really balance, like, keeping the show going and having the gravitas of, mm-hmm. honestly, I think, like, she was a less funny Petra Mede.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she had the sort of, you respected her. She was this, you know, especially considering single, you know, individual host, not having.
Yeah, she was the only one. My God.
Yeah. So holding that on her shoulders and still being light enough to be a host of a show like this, but still like authoritarian enough. It's like, all right, let's keep this stuff going.
What was the standard in those days? Was it normal for there only to be one host, or was that kind of bucking the trend even then?
You know what? I actually don't know.
I'm suddenly realizing the Statmotron has nothing about hosts.
Nothing about hosts.
But, now.
That's a really good question, actually.
There's going to be Petya and Mons for the rest of the life.
And you discover some weird correlation between hosts and winners that nobody ever thought about before.
Yep. It turns out if you go fifth and there are eight hosts, you're good. Something like that.
As much as I love Corey Brocken, she wasn't my absolute favorite part of this. But it was kind of related. I loved the fact that there were so many familiar faces in this contest, both artists that you had seen in previous years and artists that, you know, looking into the future, you knew you would see again. Like I said before, Peter, Sue, and Mark represented Switzerland altogether four times in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, for Israel, the middle singer of Chocolate Menta Mastic, so I guess the Menta of that trio.
It was actually
the Fresh Maker.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Fresh Maker there is Yardena Arazi, who ended up hosting Eurovision in 1979 and then eventually singing for Israel with the song Ben Adam in 88, which is a great song too. Let's see who else. Sandra Reimer, like I mentioned, she represented the Netherlands three times altogether in 72, 76, and 79. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, she went by three different names every time that she did it.
It's like Lake Malawi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 72, she was just Sandra paired with honors.
Sandra.
I was going to say, not to be confused with
Sandro. She went by her full name in 76, Sandra Reimer. And then in 79, she just went by
Sandra Remo of the song contest fame.
Oh my God, it all makes sense now. Yeah, she went by Sandra, but spelled with an X. So, Xandra.
Chandra.
That's not how that works.
In 79.
Just do that. Put a dollar sign there. Do something.
This isn't the 90s.
It's like me putting a percent sign in the middle of my name and saying it makes a U sound.
Wait, it doesn't?
Anyway.
Anne-Karine Strøm for Norway. She actually did three turns for Norway. One as a member of the Bendik Singers in 73. Then 74, she went as a solo artist, and we saw her in 76. I believe she came in last in both 74 and 76, which I believe makes her the only Eurovision singer to come last twice. Freddie from Freddie and the Friends, he sang for Finland.
For Hungary. Oh, never mind.
Man, he aged well. Yeah, so he sang for Finland in both 67 and 76, which is really easy for me to remember. Just flip those around. Albano and Romina Power, they sang for Italy again in, I want to say, 85?
Lou Albano and the New Power Generation?
Yeah.
Sorry, I zoned out for a second. Yep.
Cyndi Lauper on backing, yep. So there were a whole bunch of really familiar faces. There were quite a lot. So it was sort of a who's who of the past, present, and future of Eurovision in 76.
I feel like if we talk about best song, it's just going to be in a lot of our top five lists. So let's just quickly say what we thought the worst song of the contest was.
Okay.
Eric, you go first.
Clown.
Eric,
what?
Is it Clown? I was going to say, even factoring in Clown, I didn't think Switzerland's song was the worst.
Same.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
I will say, Switzerland's song came in second. It did not deserve to come in second, but it wasn't the worst.
Oh, it came in fourth.
Fourth? Oh, okay.
France was second.
Good.
Second.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't. There wasn't like a single standout, like, oh man, this is awful sort of a song. Instead, I'm going to use my time to ask Sam. So the Clown folks, they were there three times?
Four.
Four?
In four different languages, yeah.
Okay, and how many different clowns?
Oh God, if you thought 76 was weird, you should scope out what they did in 79. With their song Trödler und Co. Just trust me on that one.
It's like a children's book.
Listen, I trusted you on the pirates thing. Never again.
Our friendship is based on lies, deception, and
pirates.
Pirates and clowns.
And piracy.
I'm a pirate with Robinson.
That was your least favorite?
No, it was not. No, my least favorite came in second. I cannot believe that in 1976, Europe was gaga for France's song. Un, deux, trois is music for the winner of Mr. Most Flamboyant Mime. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I can't believe this song came really close to beating the UK. This is hot, stinky, just over the top garbage. And Derek, I need you to play it. Ugh. Anyway, Derek, yeah. What's your worst?
I think I got through most of the show without really thinking anything was terrible until we got to Austria.
Austria?
I just didn't like it. Yes.
Like
the
Brussels
performance
sprouts.
Was really
Some
annoying,
just don't
too.
Like it.
It was so twee.
Yeah. It just got annoying after a while. I was ready to move on. I don't think anything else really bothered me. I mean,
I suppose they
song-wise.
Did clap a lot.
See, for me, it pains me to say it, but I found listening to the Italian song almost painful. Oof. It was uncomfortable for me.
That's pretty bad.
I know that Albano and Romina Power, I don't know if they were married at that point or if they got married soon afterwards, but...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What was the age difference between those?
I was going to say, isn't that her dad?
Let's see. Albano was born in 43. Romina was born in 51. So it's, it's 8-year difference.
That is far different from what I assumed.
All right, so they were married in 1970 and divorced in 99. So
wow.
Yeah. So they were together. They were together quite a long time. So yeah, so they'd been married about 6 years by that point. And it just didn't I didn't get any chemistry. I felt like vocally they were like unrehearsed.
Yeah. The song, like,
her vocals just weren't anywhere near
his. Now
that
I know they were married, I'm actually think less of the song.
I know. Now it's a little bit embarrassing.
It felt like they'd never met before.
Right. It seemed like they just kind of picked two people.
Yeah.
And just put them in a room together.
To be fair for them, it was just like, well, here's the 1500 tonight we've spent together. Great. Do Eurovision. Isn't this the love of my life?
Right.
For some reason, they're both Brooklyn plumbers, too.
They're in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
So much better. Oh, my God. They were so much better in 85, I thought. I don't know if it chalked up to nerves or what, but I'm still mystified at how that ended up in seventh place.
Because people like Italy.
They do.
Even back then. At what point did Italy finally drop out of doing Eurovision?
Well, they stopped in 97.
Oh,
still a couple decades.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They were kind of sporadic for a couple of years in the 90s and did really well in 97 and then dropped out until 2011.
Yeah. Cause they should have maybe won. I don't know. That was kind of the vibe I got. It was just like, oh, we send this masterpiece and you're not giving us the crown. Peace. And then they were just done.
Yeah. That's oh, like Turkey. I mean, yeah.
I will say, before Eric says his worst song, I have to give honorable mention of worst musical moment of the night, actually, to the choruses of Spain's song, where he just goes, amor, amor, mi amor, and then the background singers go like, ew, ew. I have no idea what, I assume they're saying something about love, because he's singing, you know, amor, amor, mi amor. Spain doesn't exactly change their tack very much over the next few decades. Intent, but there is, and I hope that the listeners of this podcast listen to the Spanish song, because that's seriously what it sounds like. It goes, amor, mi amor, yeah, it's great.
I mean, I already used my time, but I would say I don't disagree with Danny about France.
Yeah. It's circus kinda, music. It's carnival music.
I will say, in contrast with Spain's song, the song Say No More, Mon Amour, from the film Empire Records by Rex Manning. That would get my... my if 12 only. Points. Yeah.
You know what? I've never seen Rex Manning and Braulio in the same room at the same time.
Nor have I.
It all makes sense.
Let's move on to the big finish. You guys got a top five all rounded up. I'm not going to assign points to it. It's just number one is the best. Eric, let's start with you.
Okay, so number five, I think I have to give to Portugal. It was just really nice. Okay. Really, really, really quite nice. Fourth, I don't know if we've talked about this one much, but I quite enjoyed the song from Germany.
Oh, sing song? You're wrong. But go
had
on.
Some, had what felt like some Beach Boys inspired harmonies to it, almost. Mm. It was really just well sung. Really, really well sung. Third, I would give to Save Your Kisses for Me, because it's really well done. Like, it's hard to be upset about that being such a big winner. Mm-hmm. Second, I'm going to say Norway, Mata Hari, for being wild and Oof. Crazy
okay.
and iconic with the glasses. And shut up, Derek. My number one is Pump Pump from Finland.
Pump Pump. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Pump it up.
Yeah.
Sam.
Oh, man. This is tough. I put my fifth place. I had forgotten how much I'd like this song, but Israel, Amor Shalom. Sure. Chocolate Mint Domestic. I just really kind of like that sort of, it was very much of its time, that sort of girl group.
That's this whole year.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
This whole Eurovision.
But I just found it really engaging. Fourth, I gave to Portugal. Like, I tweeted about this. I'm like, just Portugal, just inject all of that Portugueseness, those nasal vowels, the warbling, the melodrama, just put that into my veins forever and you will always have my heart. It was just so Portuguese.
Such Portugosity.
Such Portugosity. And like historically, it was really, really fascinating because it was right after the fall of their dictatorship. Mm. So historically, it was a really interesting moment in Portuguese history for them to send something so Portuguese, like so Fado inspired, was really big. Third place I gave to Monaco, Mary Christie. I
yes!
thought it was a great little...
Singing my favorite variety show theme song. I did love Monaco. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It just perfect disco. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Second place, I gave to the UK, Save Your Kisses for Me. It was sweet. It was memorable. It was very well staged. And it had a twist at the end that could have been sketchy as hell. And it ended up just being
oh,
sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Shyamalan twist.
Yep. But then again, like people kind of turn their nose up at, you know, the song to a person's child. And then we go ahead and praise, think about things. So I just think that's a very interesting world that we're in.
But we know Think About Things is about a child.
Not at first. I've spoken to people who, before they realized that it was about Daddy Freyr's daughter, that they were convinced it was about a throuple.
Oh.
So, yeah. Anyway, first place, no shock for me. It's Pump Pump. I freaking love the Finnish song. It is one of my guilty, not so guilty pleasures. I'm surprised that we haven't mentioned the fact that they had Ned Flanders himself on backing vocals.
That's right. Oh my God.
And the piano player, the flourish on the keys as he launches into that final chorus and the key change.
Yep.
One of the most glorious moments. The the flourish on the keys, the brrrr, as he mugs for the camera, I thought was such a great moment. And yes, let your hip go hippity pump pump. Uh-huh. But do so in moderation, or else you'll end up breaking something. So good luck. Who's next?
I'll go.
I have to brace for impact whenever Derek unleashes his top five.
All right. Grab your butts. Here we go. Number five, Monaco.
Okay.
Nice little song. Lovely dress. Number four, Ireland.
Yeah! Red Hurley Delph!
I actually quite liked it. I think there was a period where Ireland was... I think still to some degree, they are really, really good songwriters. And I really quite enjoyed this one.
Yeah, when we talk about the songwriting, it should be noted that the guy who wrote When ended up writing two of Ireland's eventual championship-winning songs.
Nice!
They wrote the guy, Brendan Graham, wrote Rock and Roll Kids and The Voice.
Okay.
So there's a pedigree there.
And there's a ton of emotion in that song. The note that I had written down for Ireland is not going for the Grammy, but going for the Oscar. Mm. Like, there's a ton of not theatrical, but like very strong emotion put into that song.
Yeah.
Number three was Finland.
We love that pump.
I love that pump.
Love the pump.
I mean, it's when it comes on, it almost feels like kind of a joke, but very quickly, it's so much fun and it's got
energy.
And I'm dancing. Yeah, it's great. You can't see Sam dancing. Thank God. I'm gonna turn that into a GIF and put it on our website. Yeah. That too. Okay. Number two was Portugal. It was It was such a solid performance and kind of understated, but really emotional. I think it worked. I think it worked on every level. I was really impressed by it. And number one was the UK. It's been stuck in my head all day. I can't think of any other song right now. If you ask me to hum out the beat of any other song, I can't. But UK, I can do it in a second. And it's so catchy. And once you hear it, the first song out of the gate, you remember it for the entire rest of the show.
It is astonishing. It. Yeah.
So
now, Derek, you do know my trick. I have told you my trick of how to get a song unstuck from your head, right?
Oh, is it Phantom of the Opera theme song?
No, imagine Bob Dylan singing it. It works for me every time.
Save your kisses for me.
That's Randy Newman.
Just needs a harmonica.
Yeah.
And that's my top five.
My top five is going to surprise absolutely no one. I don't even have any countries here that we haven't talked about already. Five, I had Norway. You know, crazy eyes and all. My number four was Finland. Bump the pump. Number three, that's where I had Ireland. I really did like Ireland, despite the tie.
The tie, yeah.
Despite the beanie baby suede, yeah. Number two is where I put Monaco. I just love that cheesy variety show feel too much. And number one, that's where I put the UK too. You can't fault that song. I think it's the clear winner.
This is one of the few times where the song that won, I would, in my opinion, was the best song.
Yes.
Like most of the time I'm like, I don't see how that won, but whatever. But this time it's like, oh yeah, this is the winner. No question.
For sure. I don't think anyone can be mad about it this year, except for the fact that France came in second. That's the only thing that I'm mad at this year. I have no idea how it happened.
So looking through the lens of time and fan favorites, just looking at what the viewers of Eurovision again voted for, the United Kingdom had a resounding victory again. France ended up in second place again. Finland ended up in third.
Yeah, nice.
Finland rose to third.
Pump it up.
Pipping Monaco into fourth place. And then Norway had the ultimate glow up from last place in the real show to fifth place.
Yeah, it's worth noting that Norwegian song that a couple of us put in our top five and the viewers put in their top five just collectively, dead last.
Yeah.
And that was such a fun song. There were a lot of things to like about that song. Not for everyone. That's fine. I was gobsmacked to learn that was last place.
Yeah.
Because how? Why? Who? Where? Which?
The Hague, 1976. We've gone over this.
Not the Hague.
Not the Hague. This is fun, guys.
Yeah.
We should do this again sometime.
I mean, we will.
Yeah.
That's true.
We're going to be doing these a little bit more. I sure hope Eurovision again revisits some of the more obscure years. I hope they give us like 1985. Give us something
they gave
really
us 1985.
God dang it.
I'm pretty sure they gave us 85. Yeah.
Tell me what
won
in 1985.
Let It Sing, Norway.
Oh God dang it.
No one off the top of my head. That's a vintage year. It's the year I was born. Come on.
I see. Well, I'm excited.
Yes.
We'll have something. We'll have a lot more news next week, especially since we didn't cover a lot of news this week. Junior Eurovision getting closer and closer.
Indeed, it is. We should be actually ramping up our Junior Eurovision coverage pretty soon. I think we're only waiting on two more songs in the roster at the time of recording. But yeah, we'll have our preview pretty soon. But until then, you can just make sure that you get in touch with us, social media, on either Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can tweet me directly at ESC Insider. Eric?
You can tweet me at ESC Insider.
No, you can't.
Wait, no.
Yeah, you
just
lie.
Just be like, Sam, can you please tell Eric? No, you can tweet me at Eric is tweeting. E-R-I-K is tweeting.
But yeah, good times. As great. Always, pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Always good chatting with you.
You too.
So with that in mind, I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
What are your thoughts on the Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
Keira Knightley. Yeah, good stuff.
Pirate stuff. Johnny Depp.
All right.
All right. Bring us back in.